First reading goes through great detail in order to demonstrate that God's mercy endures forever. Through all of the things, all of the generations and the patriarchs and before the patriarchs and all of the things, God's mercy endures forever. He has been faithful, he has been faithful, he has been faithful. When we think about time, we think of something linear. That has not always been the case. I would posit to you from one of my professors in theology that it is God entering into the life of the people of Israel that has created for us a linear notion of time. To see God act in an event, and then another event to follow after, and another event to follow after, and another event leading up to the culmination of the coming of the Messiah, creating an understanding of time that is moving towards something. Prior to that, the pagan understanding of time was that it was just this big circle, and it always came around. What always was will always be, and it's just one big circle, and just keeps coming around every year. Time is just, it's not going anywhere. It's just coming and going. God's mercy endures forever. It's interesting because we draw from that first reading the faithfulness and the fidelity of God, and then we start talking about marriage in the gospel text. Could you imagine what marriage would be like? Well, we're not that far from it these days with divorce. But in this case, it's just the man can divorce his wife. Not that the wife could divorce the man, but that the man could divorce the wife for whatever reason. Whatever reason. It sets up a whole different understanding of relationship and vulnerability and openness to each other and equality. You see, it's just become about something else, and they've lost the original purpose for it. That in entering into this covenant, it was supposed to be a copy, a living example of God's faithfulness to his bride. This is beautiful. We draw from that first reading the demonstration of God's faithfulness. Could you imagine, he gets them all out of Egypt, right? Just forget all of the grumbling and complaining that they did in Egypt while he was freeing them. Just forget all of that. Just think about the golden calf, right? And God has said, oh, sorry, here's your bill of divorce. We're done. Fend for yourself here in the desert of Arabia. I'm gone. I'm out of here. Over and over and over and over again, God demonstrates faithfulness. This is what is supposed to be lived in our marriage. From the beginning, the intention of God, a faithfulness and openness that in a covenant, in a bond, in a promise, we create this place in which people can be vulnerable and they give the gift of themselves for the remainder of their lives. To open up something that allows for this beautiful exchange of the giftedness of one for the other. That's its original intention. And it's interesting because we do the same thing. That's a pretty high standard, don't you think? Pretty high standard. I mean, even Jesus' disciples are like, man, if that's the case, it's probably better not to get married. And he's like, well, you said it. It's a pretty high expectation. What do we do in our culture when there's a pretty high expectation? We dumb it down, right? Make it easier. And that way people don't feel so bad when they can't meet that expectation. Let's just lower it. Let's just lower it again. But it undervalues it. It undermines the good and the intention of what it is to be. Marriages will fail. We live in a broken world. I mean, it's the reality of things. But it shouldn't undermine the intention of God's plan and the goodness of his plan from the beginning. So it's so important, like Jesus walks and accompanies with us, and that his mercy and his compassion is with us in all of our efforts and all of our endeavors and all of our promises to each other. I can't imagine getting married just two people without Jesus being a part of that. What an incredible help that you have truth and mercy, compassion, being a part of that relationship to encourage and to strengthen each other for its purpose. Let us not undermine God's plan for things because it's hard. Let it see in that original purpose and that intention a great blessing and a goodness. In compassion, in mercy, in love, let us enter into his plan for us in him. Amen.